Today on the Pastor Study, our Bible lesson is entitled Final Remarks. Final Remarks. Now let's turn in the Bible to Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. And we want to look at verses 17 through 27. So Romans 16, verses 17 to 27, the Word of God has this to say. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosthenes, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So what we just read here is Paul's final remarks to the Romans. Now, Paul made some profound statements that we must study. Now, this passage is hard to outline, so we're going to just teach it verse by verse. Now, notice what Paul says in our first point is divisions. He said, talks about divisions in offenses. Verses 17 and 18 of Romans 16. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see, my dear listeners, many men teach doctrinal error. And you can identify them because their doctrines don't line up with the doctrine you have learned. You see, the importance of teaching doctrine and people aren't doing that today. See, there's no longer an emphasis on doctrine anymore, an importance placed on the teaching of doctrine. People just aren't doing it any today. Amen? Notice, let's keep our place there, but let's turn to 2 Timothy in chapter number 4, and look at verses 2 and 4 with me. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, such shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. My dear listeners, the time has come, has it not? When many out there, as Paul said, will not endure sound doctrine. Now, Paul tells us, when you find someone in error, you are to, first of all, he says, mark them, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, amen, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 17. He says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Amen. So you're to mark them. Paul calls them out, the ones that are teaching error. And then Paul says, once you mark them, where to avoid them? Where to avoid them? Notice what it says over in the book of Titus, chapter number 3, in verses 10 and 11. Paul says, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So we ask, why? Why do we mark them and avoid them? Because they cause divisions. For example, they say King James Version believers are divisive because we are not inclusive, that we cannot agree to disagree on the Bible, and when we are not non-denominational, and you don't hold to the Baptist distinctives, which are biblical, and you get all kinds of junks like that. Amen. It is right to divide over doctrine by sticking with the truth. Amen. They cause offenses. Romans chapter 14 with me. Romans 14 this time. In verse number 13, it says, let us not therefore, it says in Romans 14, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall, amen, in his brother's way. So, to offend is to break a law. He committed an offense is an offender. So this is a person that teaches you to live or to do contrary to the doctrine, for example, to be baptized for salvation, that your Christian liberty gives you grace to sin and so forth. You see, these folks, they don't serve the Lord. They say they are serving him, but they are not. They serve their own bellies. They serve their own bellies. Notice with me, if you would, what Paul said to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, he said this, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." We also see that these had caused divisions, according to Paul. They deceive the hearts of the simple. So get well grounded, my dear listeners, in doctrine so they don't deceive you. Amen. So how do they deceive the simple? Amen. How do they deceive the simple? Well, we're told, by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Good words. Now, Paul didn't use good words. Paul reproved and rebuked, did he not? Look it in 2 Timothy with me. In chapter number 4, verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, 2, we see this again. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Then Paul told the Corinthians in his second epistle to them in chapter 10, verse 10, "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." That's what they said about Paul. He preached it like it is. Amen. Straight down the middle. Didn't hold back. Didn't mince his words. You knew clearly what he was saying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, he says, "But though I be rude in speech," see that he was rude in speech, "yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." Yes, Paul didn't use any good words. He reproved and he rebuked. How are they, these deceive the simple? Good words, but also fair speeches. Fair speeches. Bible preaching is not fair speeches. According to Psalms 55:21 and Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3, people who talk like that are up to no good. Amen. Psalm 55. Let's look at Psalm 55 in verse number 21. Psalm 55, verse 21, we read this. "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords." My goodness. Fair speeches. Beware. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Amen. Now, this is not how Jesus spoke, was it? Boy, he really, when he dealt with that religious crowd, he would use the word, the sword, on them. Notice what he said to that religious crowd in John chapter 8. Amen. He said this in verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He said to them, ye are your father, the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. And then in Matthew chapter 23, my goodness, he didn't use any fair speeches with that religious crowd, amen? Matthew 23, all through that chapter, amen? All through that chapter, he said to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said this, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites, he called them. They were pretending to be something they were not. Amen. My goodness. Now, let's go and look at Romans 16, verse 19. As we are looking at Paul's final remarks here to the Romans. Verse 19. Romans 16, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Amen. He said that others knew their faith. He's telling them, so stand firm, be wise unto good. Then you must apply your heart to his wisdom. He tells him, be simple concerning evil. The less you know about it, the better. Be innocent. Walk with wise men. And stay away from the evil. Look at in Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, I want us to see, look at verses 14 and 15, we read this, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Amen. Stay, walk with wise men. Amen. Stay away from evil. Avoid movies, the internet, chat rooms, social media sites, cell phones are not the place to learn. Amen? You don't want to forget these final remarks of Paul. Amen? Now, let's go back. Romans 16, verse number 20, as we're looking at Paul's final remarks to the Romans. He says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, God will bruise Satan under our feet. And that's the prophecy that we see way back in the book of Genesis in chapter number 3. And let's look at chapter 3, verse 15. He said this, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see, the bride of Christ is the woman who will bruise his head. Amen. Now, the timing of all of this is the second advent of Jesus. Amen. The second advent of Jesus. Now, look in the prophet Habakkuk. The prophet Habakkuk. And we want to look at chapter 3 in verse number 13. We read this. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by destroying the foundation under the next Selah. See, talking about the Lord coming and destroying the Antichrist here. And we see that Sisera in the book of Judges is a type of Antichrist. And he was killed by a woman who pierced his head with a tent nail.
We see that Satan's head's going to be bruised by the Lord. And then we see also in Judges, do we not, Abimelech,
a type of Antichrist, was killed by a woman who dropped a piece of millstone on his head in Judges chapter 9, verses 52 and 53.
And how about Goliath, a type of Antichrist, was slain by David, a type of Christ who hit him in the head with a stone. That all pictures the second advent in Christ, as it says the prophecy, that Satan would be bruised under our feet. So we see in his final remarks, he talks about Satan's going to be bruised. Satan is going to be bruised shortly. So we see the day is a-coming. He said shortly, it's going to take place. Amen. Now, as we're looking at Paul's final remarks, he doesn't forget to mention some of his companions in verse 21. Timotheus, who is Timothy, he says, Timotheus, my work fellow. And then Lucius and Jason and Sopater, my kinsmen, salute you. So these men were very important to Paul. They supported him. They worked alongside him. Can you imagine that? That their names were written down in the Word of God. That's how important they were to Paul into Christianity in that early church. Amen. Now, then we see in Romans 16:22, dictation. Notice what he says here. He says, I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Amen. Paul dictated the letter to Tertullus. Amen. And so he wrote it down as Paul gave it to him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then on in verse 23 of Romans 16, notice who he mentions here. He says, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother. Again, he mentions three individuals here in particular. Now, Gaius was Paul's host. Amen. He was Paul's host. If we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. So Paul, again, was trying to show that salvation, baptism was not necessary for salvation, amen. And in fact, he hadn't baptized many people, but he baptized two individuals here that he mentions, Crispus and Gaius. Now, Erastus was the chamberlain or treasurer of Corinth. So Paul led some of the noble to the Lord. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So, but he did, some noble are called. Not many, but some. And so Paul led some of the nobles to the Lord. Now, Paul led some of Caesar's household to the Lord, as he mentions that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. Now, then we want to notice Paul's final remarks here, is the several endings. The several endings of the epistle, it appears. First, in verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. No, he didn't. It seems like he's ending it there, but he didn't. And then in verse 20 of Romans 16, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. Seems like he's ending it there, but he didn't. And then in the previous chapter, chapter 15 of Romans, verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all, amen. What's interesting, preachers sometimes don't know when to stop. Amen. But you don't want to quit listening until he finishes his final remarks. Amen. Then notice what Paul says in verse 25. He says in chapter 16, verse 25, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery which was kept since the world began. Notice he says, my gospel, established by my gospel. The salvation of the mystery was kept secret until it was revealed to Paul. This includes doctrines like the indwelling Christ, the baptism into Christ, the body of Christ, the church, eternal security, spiritual circumcision, the rapture of the church, and so forth. And then we see Romans 16:26 says, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So, by now, they are manifest. Amen. The Old Testament prophets never saw these things, but now they are made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. It was there, but they just couldn't see it. And then we notice obedience mentioned here in verse 26. Obedience, Paul says, to the faith is accomplished by believing Jesus Christ in his words and doing what they say. And then we see verse 27, to God be the glory. To God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. These are good final remarks, amen, that Paul gives to the wise. And it's good that all of us should remember, amen, Paul's final remarks to the Romans. Well, that's all the time we have today on the Pastor Study. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino Cassieri, for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.